Chapter 29. Angry at the account of his journey to Paris, and indeed the two last pages, which the printer got somebody to add, four, are so romantic, they spoil all the rest. Dilyash pretended to me that he was only going to Oxford and Cambridge for a fortnight, and then would come back. I could not see him as I appointed t'other day, but some of his friends tell me he took leave of them as going to Ireland, and so they say at his lodging. I believe the rogue was ashamed to tell me so, because I advised him to stay the winter, and he said he would. I find he had got into a good set of scrub acquaintance, and I thought, passed his time very merrily, but I suppose he languished after Beldarig, and the claret of Dublin, and, after all, I think he is in the right, for he can eat, drink, and converse better there than here. Burnage was with me this morning. He calls now and then. He is in terrible fear of a piece. He said he never had his health so well as in Portugal. He is a favorite of his colonel. 14. I was mortified enough today, not knowing where in the world to dine, the town is so empty. I met H. Coote, 5, and thought he would invite me, but he did not. Sir John Stanley did not come into my head, so I took up with Mrs. Van, and dined with her and her damned landlady, who, I believe, by her eyebrows, is a bawd. This evening I met Addison and Pastoral Phillips in the park, and supped with them at Addison's lodgings. We were very good company, and I yet know no man half so agreeable to me as he is. I sat with them till 12, so you may think it is late, young women. However, I would have some little conversation with M.D. before your presto goes to bed, because it makes me sleep, and dream, and so forth. Faith, this letter goes on slowly enough, sirs, but I cannot write much at a time till you are quite settled after your journey, you know, and have gone all your visits, and lost your money at Omber. You never play at chess now, Stella. That puts me in mind of Dick Tye. I fancy I told you he used to beat his wife here, and she deserved it, and he resolves to part with her, and they went to Ireland in different coaches. Oh Lord, I said all this before, I am sure. Go to bed, sirs. Windsor, 15. I made the secretary stop at Brentford, because we set out at 2 this afternoon, and fasting would not agree with me. I only designed to eat a bit of bread and butter, but he would light, and we ate roast beef like dragons. And he made me treat him, and two more gentlemen. Faith, it cost me a guinea. I do not like such jesting, yet I was mightily pleased with it too. Tonight our society met at the secretary's. There were 9 of us, and we have chosen a new member, the Earl of Jersey, 6, whose father died lately. 'Tis past 1, and I have stolen away. 16. I design to stay here this week by myself, about some business that lies on my hands, and will take up a great deal of time. Dr. Adams, 7, one of the canons, invited me today to dinner. The tables are so full here on Sunday that it is hard to dine with a few, and Dr. Adams knows I love to do so, which is very obliging. The Queen saw company in her bedchamber. She looks very well, but she sat down. I supped with Lord Treasurer as usual, and stayed till past 1 as usual, and with our usual company, except Lord Keeper, who did not come this time to Windsor. I hate these suppers mortally, but I seldom eat anything. 17. Lord Treasurer and Mr. Secretary stay here till tomorrow. Some business keeps them, and I am sorry for it, for they hinder me a day. Mr. Lewis and I were going to dine soberly with a little court friend at 1. But Lord Harley and Lord Dublin kept me by force, and said we should dine at Lord Treasurer's, who intended to go at 4 to London. I stayed like a fool, and went with the 2 young lords to Lord Treasurer, who very fairly turned us all 3 out of doors. They both were invited to the Duke of Somerset, but he was gone to a horse race, and would not come till 5, so we were forced to go to a tavern, and sent for wine from Lord Treasurer's, who at last, we were told, did not go to town till the morrow, and at Lord Treasurer's we supped again, and I desired him to let me add 4 shillings to the bill I gave him. We sat up till 2, yet I must write to little MD. 18. They are all gone early this morning, and I am alone to seek my fortune. But Dr. Arbuthnot engages me for my dinners, and he yesterday gave me my choice of place, person, and victuals for today. So I chose to dine with Mrs. Hill, who is one of the dressers, and Mrs. Masham's sister, no company but us three, and to have a shoulder of mutton, a small one, which was exactly, only there was too much victuals besides, and the doctor's wife, 8, was of the company. And tomorrow Mrs. Hill and I are to dine with the doctor. I have seen a fellow often about court whom I thought I knew. I asked who he was, and they told me it was the gentleman porter. Then I called him to mind. He was Killy's acquaintance.
I won't say yours.
I think his name is Lovett,
9,
or Lovell, or something like it. I believe he does not know me, and in my present posture I shall not be fond of renewing old acquaintance. I believe I used to see him with the Bradleys, and, by the way, I have not seen Mrs. Bradley since I came to England. I left your letter in London, like a fool, and cannot answer it till I go back, which will not be until Monday next, so this will be above a fortnight from my last, but I will fetch it up in my next, so go and walk to the Dean's for your health this fine weather. 19. The Queen designs to have cards and dancing here next week, which makes us think she will stay here longer than we believed. Mrs. Masham is not well after her lying in. I doubt she got some cold. She is lame in one of her legs with a rheumatic pain. Dr. Arbuthnot and Mrs. Hill go tomorrow to Kensington to see her, and return the same night. Mrs. Hill and I dined with the doctor today. I rode out this morning with the doctor to see Cranburn, a house of Lord Ranelagh's,
10,
and the Duchess of Marlborough's lodge, and the park, the finest places they are, for nature and plantations, that ever I saw, and the finest riding upon artificial roads, made on purpose for the Queen. Arbuthnot made me draw up a sham subscription for a book, called A History of the Maids of Honor Since Harry VIII, showing they make the best wives, with a list of all the maids of honor since, etc., semicolon to pay a crown in hand, and the other crown upon delivery of the book, and all in common forms of those things. We got a gentleman to write it fair, because my hand is known, and we sent it to the maids of honor when they came to supper. If they bite at it, it will be a very good court jest, and the Queen will certainly have it. We did not tell Mrs. Hill. 20. Today I was invited to the green cloth by Colonel Godfrey, who married the Duke of Marlborough's sister,
11,
mother to the Duke of Berwick by King James. I must tell you those things that happened before you were born. But I made my excuses, and young Harcourt, Lord Keeper's son, and I dined with my next neighbor, Dr. Adams.
12.
Mrs. Masham is better, and will be here in 3 or 4 days. As he had need, for the Duchess of Somerset is thought to gain ground daily. We have not sent you over all your bills, and I think we have altered your money bill. The Duke of Ormond is censured here, by those in power, for very wrong management in the affair of the mayoralty.
13.
He is governed by fools, and has usually much more sense than his advisers, but never proceeds by it. I must know how your health continues after Wexford. Walk and use exercise, sir, as both, and get somebody to play at shuttlecock with you, Madam Stella, and walk to the Dean's and Donnybrook. 21. Colonel Godfrey sent to me again today, so I dined at the green cloth, and we had but 11 at dinner, which is a small number there, the court being always thin of company till Saturday night. This new ink and pen make a strange figure. I must write larger, yes I must, or Stella will not be able to read this.
14.
S. 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 There is your S's for you, Stella. The maids of honor are bit, and have all contributed their crowns, and are teasing others, to subscribe for the book. I will tell Lord Keeper and Lord Treasurer to dash morrow, and I believe the Queen will have it. After a little walk this evening, I squandered away the rest of it in sitting at Lewis's lodging, while he and Dr. Arbuthnot played at picket. I have that foolish pleasure, which I believe nobody has beside me, except old Lady Berkeley.
15.
But I fretted when I came away. I will loiter so no more, for I have a plague deal of business upon my hands, and very little time to do it. The pamphleteers begin to be very busy against the ministry. I have begged Mr. Secretary to make examples of one or two of them, and he assures me he will. They are very bold and abusive.
22.
This being the day the ministry come to Windsor, I ate a bitter two at Mr. Lewis's lodgings, because I must sup with Lord Treasurer, and at half an hour after one, I led Mr. Lewis a walk up the avenue, which is 2 miles long. We walked in all about 5 miles, but I was so tired with his slow walking, that I left him here, and walked 2 miles towards London, hoping to meet Lord Treasurer, and return with him. But it grew darkish, and I was forced to walk back, so I walked 9 miles in all, and Lord Treasurer did not come till after 8, which is very wrong, for there was no moon, and I often tell him how ill he does to expose himself so, but he only makes a jest of it. I supped with him, and stayed till now, when it is half an hour after 2. He is as merry and careless, and disengaged as a young heir at 21. 'Tis late indeed.
23.
The secretary did not come last night, but at 3 this afternoon. I have not seen him yet, but I verily think they are contriving a peace as fast as they can, without which it will be impossible to subsist. The Queen was at church today, but was carried in a chair. I and Mr. Lewis dined privately with Mr. Loman,
16,
clerk of the kitchen. I was to see Lord Keeper this morning, and told him the jest of the maids of honor, and Lord Treasurer had it last night. That rogue Arbuthnot puts it all upon me. The court was very full today. I expected Lord Treasurer would have invited me to supper, but he only bowed to me, and we had no discourse in the drawing room. It is now 7 at night, and I am at home, and I hope Lord Treasurer will not send for me to supper. If he does not, I will reproach him, and he will pretend to chide me for not coming. So farewell till I go to bed, for I am going to be busy. It is now past 10, and I went down to ask the servants about Mr. Secretary. They tell me the Queen is yet at council, and that she went to supper, and came out to the council afterwards. It is certain they are managing a peace. I will go to bed, and there is an end. It is now 11, and a messenger is come from Lord Treasurer to sup with them, but I have excused myself, and am glad I am in bed, for else I should sit up till 2, and drink till I was hot. Now I'll go sleep. London, 24. I came to town by 6 with Lord Treasurer, and have stayed till 10. That of the Queen's going out to sup, and coming in again, is a lie, as the secretary told me this morning. But I find the ministry are very busy with Mr. Prior, and I believe he will go again to France. I am told so much, that we shall certainly have a peace very soon. I had charming weather all last week at Windsor, but we have had a little rain today, and yesterday was windy. Prior's journey sells still, they have sold 2,000, although the town is empty. I found a letter from Mrs. Fenton here, desiring me, in Lady Gifford's name, to come and pass a week at Sheen, while she is at Moor Park. I will answer it with a vengeance. And now you talk of answering, there is M.D.'s N. 220 is yet to be answered. I had put it up so safe, I could hardly find it. But here it is, faith, and I am afraid I cannot send this till Thursday, for I must see the secretary tomorrow morning, and be in some other place in the evening.
25.
Stella writes like an emperor, and gives such an account of her journey, never saw the like. Let me see, stand away, let us compute. You stayed 4 days at Inishcorthy, 2 nights at Mrs. Proby's mother's, and yet was but 6 days in journey, for your words are, we left Wexford this day se'nnight, and came here last night. I have heard them say that travelers may lie by authority. Make up this, if you can. How far is it from Wexford to Dublin? How many miles did you travel in a day? 17, let me see, £30 in 2 months is 90 pounds a year, a matter of nothing in Stella's purse. I dreamed Billy Swift was alive, and that I told him you writ me word he was dead, and that you had been at his funeral, and I admired at your impudence, and was in mighty haste to run and let you know what lying rogues you were. Poor lad, he is dead of his mother's former folly and fondness. And yet now I believe, as you say, that her grief will soon wear off. Oh yes, Madam Dingley, mightily tired of the company, no doubt of it, at Wexford. And your description of it is excellent. Clean sheets, but bare walls. I suppose then you lay upon the walls. Mrs. Walls has got her tea, but who pays me the money? Come, I shall never get it, so I make a present of it, to stop some gaps, etc. Where's the thanks of the house? So, that's well. Why, it cost 4.30 shillings English. You must adjust that with Mrs. Walls. I think that is so many pence more with you. No, Leanne Stern, I suppose, we're not at the water side. I fear Stern's business will not be done. I have not seen him this good while. I hate him, for the management of that box. And I was the greatest fool in nature for trusting to such a young jackanapes. I will speak to him once more about it, when I see him. Mr. Addison and I met once more since, and I supped with him. I believe I told you so somewhere in this letter. The Archbishop chose an admirable messenger in Walls, to send to me, yet I think him fitter for a messenger than anything. The DS he has. I did not observe her looks. Will she rot out of modesty with Lady Gifford? I pity poor Jenny 18, but her husband is a dunce, and with respect to him, she loses little by her deafness. I believe, Madam Stella, in your accounts you mistook one liquor for another, and it was 140 quarts of wine, and 32 of water. This is all written in the morning, before I go to the secretary, as I am now doing. I have answered your letter a little shorter than ordinary, but I have a mind it should go today, and I will give you my journal at night in my next, for I'm so afraid of another letter before this goes. I will never have two together again unanswered. What care I for Dr. Tisdall and Dr. Raymond, or how many children they have? I wish they had 100 apiece. Lord Treasurer promises me to answer the bishop's letter tomorrow, and show it me. And I believe it will confirm all I said, and mortify those that threw the merit on the Duke of Ormond, for I have made him jealous of it. And t'other day, talking of the matter, he said, I am your witness, you got it for them before the Duke was Lord Lieutenant. My humble service to Mrs. Walls, Mrs. Stoyt, and Catherine. Farewell, etc. What do? When you see any literal mistakes in my letters, how do you set them right? For I never read them over to correct them. Farewell, again. Pray send this note to Mrs. Brent, to get the money, when Parvisel comes to town, or she can send to him. Letter 31. London, September 25, 1711. I dined in the city today, and at my return I put my 30th into the post office, and when I got home I found for me one of the noblest letters I ever read. It was from 3½ in folio, on a large sheet of paper, the 2 first pages made up of satire upon London, and crowds and hurry, stolen from some of his own schoolboy's exercises. The 1½ remaining is spent in desiring me to recommend Mrs. South, your commissioner's widow, 1, to my Lord Treasurer for a pension. He is the prettiest, discreetest fellow, that ever my eyes beheld, or that ever dipped pen into ink. I know not what to say to him. A pox on him, I have too many such customers on this side already. I think I will send him word, that I never saw my Lord Treasurer in my life. I am sure I industriously avoided the name of any great person when I saw him, for fear of his reporting it in Ireland. And this recommendation must be a secret too, for fear the Duke of Bolton, too, should know it, and think it was too mean. I never read, so d a letter in my life. A little would make me send it over to you. I must send you a pattern. The first place I cast my eyes on, I will not pick and choose. In this place, meaning the Exchange in London, which is the compendium of old Troynovant, as that is of the whole busy world, I got such a surfeit, that I grew sick of mankind, and resolved forever after to bury myself in the shady retreat of Dash. You must know that London has been called by some Troynovant, or New Troy. Will you have any more?
Yes, one little bit for Stella, because she'll be fond of it.
This wondrous theater, meaning London, was no more to me than a desert, and I should less complain of solitude in a Connaught shipwreck, or even the great bog of Allen. A little scrap for Mrs. Marget, 3, and then I have done. Their royal phantom, wherein the idol Pecunia is daily worshipped, seemed to me to be just like a hive of bees working and laboring under huge weights of cares. Phantom is a temple, but he means the Exchange. And Pecunia's money. So now Mrs. Marget will understand her part. One more paragraph, and I,
well, come, don't be in such a rage, you shall have no more.
Pray, Stella, be satisfied. 'Tis very pretty. And that I must be acquainted with such a dog as this. Our peace goes on fast. Prior was with the secretary 2 hours this morning. I was there a little, after he went away, and was told it. I believe he will soon be dispatched again to France, and I will put somebody to write an account of his second journey. I hope you have seen the other. This latter has taken up my time with storming at it.
26.
Burnage has been with me these 2 days. Yesterday I sent for him to let him know that Dr. Arbuthnot is putting in strongly to have his brother made a captain over Burnage's forehead. Arbuthnot's brother is but an ensign, but the doctor has great power with the Queen. Yet he told me he would not do anything hard to a gentleman who is my friend, and I have engaged the secretary and his colonel 5 for him. Today he told me very melancholy that the other had written from Windsor, where he went to solicit, that he has got the company, and Burnage is full of the spleen. I made the secretary write yesterday a letter to the colonel in Burnage's behalf. I hope it will do yet, and I have written to Dr. Arbuthnot to Windsor, not to insist on doing such a hardship. I dined in the city at Pontac's, with Stratford. It cost me 7 shillings. He would have treated, but I did not let him. I have removed my money from the bank to another fund. I desire Parvisel may speak to Hawkshaw, to pay in my money when he can, for I will put it in the funds, and, in the meantime, borrow so much of Mr. Secretary, who offers to lend it me. Go to the Dean's, sirs.
27.
Burnage was with me again today, and is in great fear, and so was I, but this afternoon, at Lord Treasurer's, where I dined, my brother, George Granville, Secretary at War, after keeping me a while in suspense, told me that Dr. Arbuthnot had waived the business, because he would not wrong a friend of mine, that his brother is to be a lieutenant, and Burnage is made a captain. I called at his lodging, and the soldier's coffee house, to put him out of pain, but cannot find him. So I have left word, and shall see him to Dash morrow morning, I suppose. Burnage is now easy. He has 10 shillings a day, beside lawful cheating. However, he gives a private sum to his colonel, but it is very cheap. His colonel loves him well, but is surprised to see him have so many friends. So he is now quite off my hands. I left the company early tonight, at Lord Treasurer's. But the secretary followed me, to desire I would go with him to W. Mr. Lewis's man came in, before I could finish. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.